Anybody ever been in a pit of life? Maybe something's gone bad. Let me help you describe it. Everything goes wrong. My life is done. I'm in despair. Why is life so dark? I mean, it's just a pit. Anybody ever been in a pit in your life? If you're not raising your hand, you're a liar. Because we've all been in pits in our lives. And here's the thing. Today I want to start a new series called Pit Happens. Don't misquote me on that. Pit happens. Getting out and staying out of the pits in our lives. I want to tell you a little story, something that happened Monday. My buddy Caleb, I don't know if he's here today. Is Caleb here today? Anyways, Caleb and Josh 9, they live up at Slap Out. They have a bunch of cattle and stuff. And he called me and he said, "Hey, Bo, I want you to come. We're going to be moving a bunch of yearlings. We're going to go and have a good time." And I thought, well, there's going to be 5 or 6 cowboys there. We're going to have a great time. Well, it was actually just me and Josh on horseback, okay? And we get on this circle, and this circle, you know, like a circle that has the water irrigation system on it. And it's a wheat pasture, and there's 750 yearlings on this one wheat pasture. And it's our job to get them to a hole that we've put the fence down and get them onto the road and then push them. Well, everything was cool. I mean, Josh and I got it started. I mean, Caleb's in the cake wagon trying to get the cake wagon set up so he can kind of draw them to the opening in the fence. We get the cattle moving that way. He blows the horn. The cattle go, "Mrah!" You know, I mean, they start bawling and stuff, and they're just going toward the cake wagon. They get near the cake wagon. They go out the fence, and everything is fine. But then we turn a corner. We go down this road, and we get to the highway. And the highway's kind of, you know, going north and south. We get to the highway, and they're okay there. We get them across the highway. And then we have to turn them, and we have to go into this trap that's set up for these cattle. Well, as soon as we got them to the turn, that's when everything went south. Anybody ever been there? I mean, everything's going good, and you're going, "Man, this is a good day. Sun's shining. Everything's good." And then all of a sudden, everything goes to pot. Well, here's what happened. The neighbor had a couple hundred yearlings on a pasture just to the north of us. And when those cattle got to the corner and they were going to make the turn into the trap, they decided to go the other way. They tore down the neighbor's fence. I mean, four or five T-posts are on the ground. Every, you know, barbed wire line is cut and broke, and all about like 400 of them go in the neighbor's pasture with his 200 yearlings, and they all get mixed up. That was just the first pit. You know, and here's the, to top it all off, I'm riding a 3-year-old colt named John Wayne who can't do diddly squat. And so I'm no help. And it's like, I told Caleb, I said, it's like these cattle know that I'm on a young horse. Because here's the thing, we tried to get them in a corner and try to sort out the neighbor's cattle. They blew straight over the top of me. Because my little horse wouldn't get going and wouldn't do his job. I mean, just young. He just didn't know what he was doing. So we tried to do that. And then what do when you don't know what else to do? You go eat. So we said, okay, what are we going to do? Well, we don't know. Let's go eat. And so we went and ate. We came back, and somebody had this bright idea, and we decided, well, we're going to just push them back into another neck of that pasture, and we're going to cut the fence. And then we're going to push them out that hole that we cut the fence with. Well, as soon as we cut the fence, and as soon as we're pulling these cattle, it actually worked perfect. I mean, they went into this kind of this neck, and we pulled them out into the road. We got them going into the road, and here comes the neighbor. The butt chewing begins on why we shouldn't have cut the fence. And anyways, so we get them on the road. The butt chewing comes, and we get them, and we push them through this other gate. And everything goes fine. I mean, everything actually went okay. We pushed them into this other gate. We got them out. And then it came to sorting them. Now, again, we've got 200 of the yearlings, neighbor's yearlings, and we've got like 750. So we got about 1,000, you know, yearlings in this trap. And it became a job to sort them. Now, again, sorting isn't that big of a deal. I mean, it's kind of fun. I like a challenge, you know. But here's the thing about it. It was just after the rain. And we were standing in about 8 inches of mud and pit, and I'm not going to say the other word. But it was cow crap, okay? And we're standing there, and here's the thing. I had two options. I could either sort or I could run the gates. And either one was a big, muddy mess. You had two gates. You had the big gate, and if you said in, you opened the gate, and you let them in. And the gate behind it was the Tyler's gate, which was the neighbor's cattle, and we had to sort them into that pen. And then the other was just the go by, and that was for the little calves. Well, again, it wouldn't have been a big deal, but again, we were standing in about 8 or 10 inches of mud. I want to show you a picture. This is actually taken yesterday, so it wasn't, I mean, it's not, it doesn't look bad, but when we were in it, again, 8 inches of mud right there. And the gates are on the left right there, that gate on the left, and then that white gate in front of it, those are the gates. The cattle are on the other overhead by the red truck, and we would sort out of there, they would come by, and we would open the gate or close the gate or let them by. Now, here's the other thing. You could sort, but when you sort, you're up there by the red truck or by that gate, and when you sort, you're standing in the mud, and you've got to push them into this mud pit, which is kind of in the middle there. Now, that wasn't a big deal, but again, you're standing in mud. The other thing that you would have to do, if you were running the gates, then the cattle would just come by and fling the poop onto all over you. And so, again, you were just in the pit the whole time. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little older, and when you stand in 8 inches of mud and you're having to run from some crazy cattle, you get winded. I was in the pit, and that day felt like it was going to be the pit of the lifetime, if you know what I'm saying. Nothing else could go right, but needless to say, we made it through it. We got them all sorted. We got the fence fixed that day. We got the cattle put back into the neighbors, and everything was okay. But here's the thing. A lot of times, that feels the same way in life. Sometimes, and a lot of times, we find ourselves in a pit with no hope of getting out. You feel like you've just been plowed over. I mean, the cattle, just like those cattle ran all over us. You feel like the world is running all over you. You can't get out of the pit. The mud is being flung all over you. And one thing happens after another, and you feel like you're in a pit. Well, today I want to give you an introduction to this series that sets us up for what's to come. And I want to start by saying this. There are a lot of truths about pits, okay? There's a lot of truths about pits, and pits can be anything. Let me give you some examples of some pits. Sin can be a pit, right? Sin can be a pit. Addiction can be a pit. Bitterness can be a pit. You can be in the pit of your past. You can be in the pit of lukewarmness in your spiritual walk. You can be in the pit of divorce. You can be in a financial pit. You can be in a bullying pit where you're getting bullied. You can be in a depression pit. You can be in the pit of pity. You can be in the pit of discouragement. Pits can be anything. And here's another sad truth about pits. And this is why I'm preaching this series, because I believe this with all my heart. I believe that more people are in pits than aren't in pits. Maybe you don't see it. I get calls almost every day of somebody that's in a pit. And here's the thing. More people, and you run in circles that I maybe don't run in, but what I've noticed is more people are in pits than are out of pits. And you say, well, Bo, why are you preaching on this? Because I want to equip you to reach the people that are in the pit, and I want to see you reach into the pit and pull them out. Listen, Jesus did that for us, and he wants to do it for them. So we've got to be used to help pull people out of the pit. And so again, maybe you're not in a pit, maybe you are in a pit. Here's the truth. If I don't tell people how to get out of the pit, they never will they? I mean, they'll just sit in the pit all day long, all their life, and they'll just sit in it and think, well, this is just my lot in life. It's what I got to deal with. It's just not true. Now, here's the thing. There are three ways that we get into a pit. Here's number one. Number one, sometimes we're thrown into the pit. Anybody ever been thrown into a pit? Yeah, maybe you've had a friend that maybe betrayed you. They threw you in the pit. There's a great character named Joseph that we're going to talk about that was thrown into the pit by his brothers. Maybe you've been in that pit of a betrayal, and you're in the pit of bitterness because somebody did something bad to you, and you sit in your bitterness. Sometimes, here's what God does. Sometimes he allows us to be thrown into the pit. You say, well, why? Why does he allow us to be thrown in the pit? Here's the thing. A lot of times, the only place that we can learn how to grow in our faith is to be in the pit. Sometimes God allows that to happen so that we can trust in him. You think about Job, another great character who was in a pit. You think about Daniel, who was in the den with the lions. I mean, all kinds of people are sometimes, all of us are thrown into the pit by God, or allowed to be thrown into the pit by God. So the first way that we get into the pit is we're thrown into the pit. Number two is sometimes we slip into the pit. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a place in your life where temptation just slowly creeps in and you begin to slip into a pit of sin? I don't know about you, but that happens. That happens. I mean, nobody else is making us. We're just choosing to be thrown into a pit or to slip into the pit. So here's number three, the third way that we get into a pit. Sometimes we jump into the pit. Now, I don't know about you, but if I ever saw like a mud pit and I was a kid, guess what I did? I jumped into the pit. Guess what else I got after I jumped into the pit from my parents? The Big Red. My dad had a paddle and he made it in his wood shop and it was called Big Red. Listen, sometimes we jump into the pit. We don't care what the consequences are going to be. We choose to jump into the pit ourselves. And here's the thing, sometimes we get into this pit and we just keep digging. I mean, we're in the pit and it's like, oh, I'm just going to dig a little more. I'm going to dig a little more. And we try to dig our way deeper into the pit. Will Rogers once said, when you find yourselves in a pit, stop digging. Stop digging. So here's the question. How do we get out of the pit? And how do we stay out of the pit? Well, in the next few Sundays, we're going to talk about this. And today, we're going to talk about this. Here's the cool thing. The cool thing about the Bible is that it's full of characters that were either thrown into a pit, slipped into a pit, or they were jumped into the pit themselves. And here's the thing. We don't have to go into the pits of life because we can learn from their pits and stay out of them. That's a great thing. So again, we're going to look at some characters throughout this series that were in the pit. The key verse, and I want to touch on it today, Psalm 40 verses 1 through 3. And David is talking and he gives a great example of being in a pit. But here's the thing. He learned how to get out. And listen to how he got out. Psalm 40 verses 1 through 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Do you see what David did? What did he do? He turned to the Lord and he waited patiently and he cried out to the Lord and the Lord reached down and pulled him out of the pit. David knew what it took to get out of the pit. Now I want to close with two things today. Two things that help us get out of the pits of life. Number one is this. We must admit we're in a pit. We must admit that we're in a pit. Have you ever known someone or been that person that just couldn't admit something? Anybody ever known somebody like that? I mean, they just can't admit it. I mean, do you ever get in a fight with your spouse? And I'm going to speak for myself. And you just can't admit what you said, and when you know you said it, you just don't want to admit it. Anybody with me? Am I the only loser here? Thank you. Here's the thing. There are so many people that won't admit that they're in the pit. They can't admit that they said something. They can't admit that they did something. They can't admit that they were wrong. They can't admit that they have a problem. Here's the first step to getting out of the pit. You have to admit that you're in a pit. You have to admit that you're in a pit. Here's the truth. Some people don't even know that they're in a pit because they've been in the pit so long. You ever thought about that? I mean, some people, they're like, I don't have a problem because they've had the problem so long. You know, some people say, well, I'm not a bitter person. Oh, really? Well, then why do you get so fired up when I mention her name? I mean, his name. Or that person's name. And then some people will say, well, I'm not depressed. Really? You're not depressed? Then why don't you smile? Why don't you have joy in your life? Why don't you have the ambition to do the things that you used to enjoy? Some people say, oh, I'm not selfish. Really? Let me ask your wife. Let me ask your husband. Some people say, well, I'm not depressed. I'm not selfish. Or I let that go a long time ago. It doesn't affect me. I'm not negative. I'm not addicted to that. I can quit that anytime. I'm not in that pit. And again, here's the truth. The problem is a lot of people have been in that pit so long that they don't even know that they're in it. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to admit that we're in the pit. We must admit that we've sinned. We must admit that we made a wrong choice. We must admit that we feel defeated, and we must admit that we can't get out of the pit on our own. So that's number one. Number two is this. We should never be content in the pit. Some people, and I hear this all the time, I guess I'll just, you know, this is just the hand that God dealt me. I guess I'm just going to have to go through this for the rest of my life. And they just throw up their hands, and you know, life is just terrible, and I just can't get out of the pit. Or this is just the lot that God dealt me, and I'm just going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. Listen, you do not have to stay in the pit. Amen? Listen, some of you, yes, let's clap. Woo! You do not have to stay in the pit. Listen, here is a truth that I want you to get. You are going to have to face consequences when you sin and you make a wrong choice. But here's the cool thing about knowing God and knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You do not have to stay in the pit. He is there even in the pit. He's there. And he wants you to get out of the pit. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Plans to what? Prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Not being content in the pit of life is a great thing. You say, well, I'm just going to sit here in my pit. Don't sit there in your pit. Get out of the pit. It is not God's desire for you to accept the pit that you're in. It's not his desire for you to make the best out of the pit that you're in. Listen to what he says in Psalms 23. Verses 4 through 6, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you hear the hope there? I mean, even if you've been thrown into the pit, even if you've slipped into the pit, even if you've chosen to be in the pit, God doesn't want you to stay in the pit. It's his desire for you to get out of the pits of life, to experience his love and his goodness and his forgiveness. And there is a way out of the pit. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. And so some of you are here today and you're living in a pit. And you're thinking, how do I get out? Listen, there's hope for you. The Bible says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life if I know Christ." And so I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you are here today, or maybe you're listening to this online, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not in a pit. And for some of you, that may be true. Praise God that you're not in a pit. But for a lot of people, there are many people, and the majority of people, they are in the pit, and it's time to fess up and say, okay, I admit it. I'm in a pit, and I don't know what to do. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to point you out. But here's what I want to know. I want to know maybe if you're in a pit. How many of you guys would be willing, with nobody's looking around, but you'd be willing to raise your hand and say, you know what, Bo? I'm in a pit right now. Thank you. All across the room. I'm in a pit, and I don't know what to do. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. All across the room. Listen, I hope that you hear the words of God today. He does not want you to stay in the pit. There is hope for you. It's not in your own doing. It's not in your own strength. It's in the strength of knowing Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're here today and you raised your hand and you say, Bo, I'm in the pit. Here's my first question to you. Do you know Christ personally? I want you to think about that. I mean, oftentimes we think, well, I'm just going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to get out of this pit. And it doesn't work. The only way that I've found that I can get out of the pits in my life is to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your help. Every character that you read about and that we're going to read about in the next few weeks, they turned to Jesus and they turned to God and they said, hey, I need your help. Some of you today need to do that for the first time. You need to say to God, you need to say, God, I want to trust in your son, Jesus. I want to give him my life so that I can have the strength to get out of the pit. You know what that's called? It's called being saved. It's called salvation. It's called being set free from your sin. And some of you may be here today and you're thinking, well, I've never done that. I've never given my life to Christ. Listen, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So listen, if you're in that pit and you know I'm lost, I don't know Christ personally. Listen, all he asks you to do is to confess him as your Lord and say, okay, Lord, I give you my life. I know I'm in the pit of sin and I need you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and save me. Listen, that's the first step to getting out of the pit. And if you desire and you maybe made that decision right now, listen, we want to know about it. Not so that we can pad our records, not so that we can, you know, make a bunch of big deal about numbers or any of that. We don't care about any of that. We want to know that you have given your life to Christ so that we can strengthen you, so that we can come alongside of you and fight this fight together. Get out of the pits of our lives together. And so maybe you made that decision for the first time today to give your life to Christ. All we ask you to do is to go to our guest table, fill out an orange sheet, and place it in the offering bucket, and we will contact you. That's all we ask. So if you made a decision today to do that, please let us know. Maybe you're here today and you're in a different pit. Life's just a pit. Maybe you experienced loss of a loved one. Maybe your husband left. Maybe you're being bullied at school. Listen, God doesn't want you to be content in that pit. There is hope in him, and he can help you get out of it. So I would encourage you, admit that you're in that pit. Admit it to God. Pray to God and say, okay, God, I know I'm in a pit, and I need your help. And then listen and allow him to show you how you can get out of the pit that you're in. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. And I want to pray for all of you that raised your hands. And I hope those of you that maybe didn't raise your hand will pray for them throughout the rest of this week, that you will pray that God would give them the power and the strength and that he would pull them out of the pits that they're in. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you, even though we may be in a pit, that we don't walk alone. We don't walk through those valleys alone. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are with us. And Lord, today, for those that maybe raised their hand and said, you know what, Bo, I'm in a pit in my life and I don't know how to get out. Lord, show yourself to them. Show them your power. Show them your strength. Show them that you can get them out of the pit if they will just turn to you and they will trust in you. And so, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible that teaches us how to do that. And may we walk out of here knowing that there is hope in Christ. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.